several traveling, and we was one of them yesterday, and we went around this mountain road, and we got a little closer to the Lord. Big drop-off, I think Blake did. He was sitting on the right-hand side, and I was driving, so he sure got closer. But we did have a good time. Thank the Lord for keeping us safe and letting us enjoy some of his great creation. This was up in North Carolina, and he made Alabama ain't the only beautiful place. North Carolina was pretty also. So remember those we have traveling. We've got some on the beach and different places. So be much in prayer for them as they travel home. And we've got several still sick and going through surgeries and different things. So remember those in prayer. And do we have any other prayer requests this morning on anybody's heart? Remember Alicia Steen still. She's recovering. Remember Jane and Jackie McDaniel as they're recovering. Barbara Lynn and Cody, the little girl's doing better. So had some scary times this week, so we thank you for all the prayers at the church. Prayed for them, and God's so good to us, and we don't deserve it. Remember our church when you pray. We got revival coming up. The second week in September, so be much in prayer for that. It'll be Brother Randy Robinson from Stedman Baptist Church. Will be the one preaching for us the three nights, so you'll really enjoy Randy. He's a great guy, a great preacher, so and God's really using him at his church, so be much in prayer for Randy. And let's prepare to be here. I said it at a lot of places I've been that for us to have revival, first thing we got to do is we got to be present. We can't get revived if we're at home. We got to be in the church, and I ask you to support our revival. It's the first one we've had here in years, some was telling me, so looking forward to it. Looking forward to what God's going to do with it. Do you have anyone else? No other prayer requests? Brother Keith, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we are so thankful for this day. Our Father, you have heard the prayer request. We pray, Father, that you do these each individual, these families. We just ask that you would strengthen them through these times. Father, now as we go into our worship hour, I just thank you for Chad and his ministry. And Father, just pray that you would open our minds and hearts to your word, your will this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. If you have pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know. There's a better life. There's a better life. Somebody testify, testify.
Yeah.
Where's my Bible? I misplaced my stuff. Colton, hit it.
You got a glimpse into the Morgan home.
Amen. Blame the other person. It's never my fault, Pat. Oh, as I say, it's good to be back in Alabama. Good to be back in church, and looking forward to preaching this morning what God's laid on my heart. And it's weird how these messages come sometimes. If you've never preached, you may not understand. If you have preached, you completely understand. But God will send messages in the oddest of ways. I was there was a fan running there, and when them women get ready in the bathroom, they get all these devices going, and it gets hot. All these curling irons and all these different things, you know. And I went in the house, and there wasn't nobody there, and there was a fan running. So I unplugged it. And when I unplugged it, something amazing happened. It quit running. It quit working. Fan quit spinning. And God laid a message upon my heart about power. I know if you're not from around Alabama, you tend to call what we turn the lights on with electricity, but me and you call it power. If our lights is off, we call somebody and say, "Hey, is your power off?" We call it power. And the Lord began putting a message in my heart about power. And I began thinking about what power source we have as Christians. What a great source of power. You realize that we're here this morning, should be here, supposed to be here, to worship a true and living Savior, an almighty God. The Bible calls him the God of Israel, of Isaac and Jacob. He is the only God. And he is the only true source of power today. There's none other. I began thinking about the physical power that we see this morning that turned the lights on. And I began thinking about where it comes from. And ours, I do believe, comes from hydroelectric. Water turns turbines, and turbines make that electricity that we have this morning. And may I remind you who created water? And then I began thinking about the other types of power they are. We power our cars with fuel. And the fuel that comes from fossils, they tell me. And may I tell you who created those, where we get the fuel? Every source of power we have in heaven and on earth comes from God. Aside from him, there is absolutely no power. And the power that we have to preach or teach or any of this today in our churches and in anywhere comes from God. If we try to come up with it on our own, we've got a false source of power. They've tried and tried to duplicate power that God has made in the natural resources. They can't do it. They can't make it. I've read a story one time about where this smart scientist was going to challenge God. He was going to come up with a better person than God had made. God said, "Okay, we'll do this thing." The scientist said, "I'll tell you what, God said, you take your pile of dirt and I'll take mine." He said, "No, wait a minute. That's my dirt. I created it." So without him, we absolutely can do nothing. This morning, we must have him as our power source. Turn to Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. I'm going to read this one verse, then we'll get started on a message. If I had to title it, would be, "Are You Connected?" Are you connected? It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you for the message you've laid upon our heart. Lord, I ask you if there be one here this morning that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, they will before they leave this place. Father, I pray that we'll realize that if we are yours this morning, it's through your power. It's through your drawing us to yourself, Lord, from that power of the Holy Spirit that you have given to draw us to you. And Lord, if we do anything in this church that's accomplished, it'll be from your power. Lord, anything in our community is through your power. And Lord, let us understand that this morning, that it's only through the power of an almighty God that we can do anything. Lord, we thank you this morning. We praise you and thank you for each one that's here. We pray that we may leave different than when we come in. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I done mentioned that all the power in heaven and earth comes from the one source. And But I began thinking about why is our churches and all of our places that we go to, and you got to be scared and afraid and all this stuff, and why is there so many people that doesn't care about God, and why is churches not reaching more lost souls? And I began thinking about that fan that was plugged in, and when I unplugged that thing, it quit working. I believe somewhere down the road, our churches and our communities have become unplugged from God. I believe we've become disconnected from the power source, and we come in here on Sunday mornings, we come in here on Wednesdays, and we try to operate as that fan would without power. Now, I promise you, there's many different ways you can turn something like that, and I've seen phones now that's powered through your cell phone. Fans that's powered through your cell phone, and they come up with something. We went to Goats on the Roof yesterday, and you can, Goats on the Roof, anybody ever been there before? If you ain't, you need to go. There's this Goats on the Roof, basically. But listen, the people are genius. They come up with the idea to put these goats on the top of this building, and people come see them, and guess what else? They feed the goats themselves, the people who come see them do. You put money in this thing, or you go up to the front, and they give you this goat food, and it's got this little thing with on bicycle pedals, and you put the food in there, and you pedal the bicycle, and it powers the food up to the goat. Genius. Somebody thought of it. Listen, without this power in our churches this morning, we can simply do nothing. I'm afraid we're trying to operate in our churches and in our homes on our own power. And when we do that, we're not very successful. And I tell you, you don't think about our power until it's turned off, until there's not any. I remember the other day that Stephanie was going to Texas, and me and Ashton was by ourselves there, and the power went off about 3 o'clock, and we come to Heflin to get something to eat, and I said, surely it'll be back on. And I began complaining about Alabama Power. What's wrong with them? Why does it take so long to fix the line? And we got home at 10 o'clock, and there still wasn't any power. And 10:30 came, and still wasn't power. And we're sitting on the porch, and she was sweating, and I was sweating, and we was both ill. And she said, Daddy, I want to go inside. Bugs is biting me. I said, we can't. It's too hot. And then she said, how did people live without this? How did we make it? Listen, we honestly today don't understand how we made it without electricity, but may I remind you that how have we made it this far without God? How have we made it this far in our lives without the power of God in our churches and in our communities? And when was it that we turned our back on Him? Now, I know what the older people's thinking. Now, I guarantee it comes to some of y'all's minds that I tell you when we did it in 1962 when prayer was taken out of school. Boy, I've heard that so much I could throw up. Listen, that didn't happen in 1962. There's no way one woman could have got prayer out of schools if prayer had been in the home. It would not have happened. Something happened before that to allow that to get to the point where that could happen, because people sat back and they allowed them to take this prayer out because it didn't mean anything to them, because they wouldn't pray in at home anyway. So power source, we become disconnected. We've unplugged it. We've unplugged our churches from the power sources and Almighty God. And it's not too hard to figure out what we must do. Listen, church, if we're to have the true power that comes from the true source, which is God, we must be plugged in. We must be reconnected. We must be in a place where the power can get from Him to us. So how does that happen? Well, we're going to try to help you a little bit this morning with the Lord's help to get us to understand that if we're going to reach the lost, if we're going to reclaim backsliders, if people is going to come back to God today in Heflin, Alabama, if they're going to come back in the United States of America, it's not going to be done by my program I come up with. It's not going to be done even with my preaching. It's not going to be done with my teaching. It's going to be done by the almighty power of God. It's simply the way it's going to be done. Listen, people have gotten their idea that, hey, I'm a pretty good preacher. I can lead people to Christ. And yes, you can lead them, but guess what? Unless that Spirit of God has drawn them, you cannot lead them to Christ. It's impossible. Amen. You might lead them to a decision, but you cannot lead them to God. It's the power of God that has to draw them, and we got to get that through our hard skulls until we understand this thing in our churches, that it's through the power of God. There's no man that can do anything on his own. It's through this power of God. Listen, I could take that fan that I talked about, and I never had no idea I'd preach about a fan. Listen, it don't make any sense, but I could take that fan, and I could do anything I wanted to it, and I could try all this stuff. I could talk to it. I could read it some scripture. I could do all this stuff, but until I plug that thing in the wall, nothing was happening with that fan. We must have a line. We must have a direct line to the source. I begin thinking about that power that's, let's just say it's generated down here on Lake Weedowee. I'm not certain where the power me and you's enjoying this morning and the air conditioning and the lights is coming from, but let's say it's coming from Lake Weedowee down there where they generate power. And listen, there has to be a way to get the power from that generating plant to our building this morning. And how that's done is with a line, with a power line. You can go down that, what's that name of that road? Blake's Ferry Road, close to where the dam is, and you can see those big high lines going into that power plant. And with that moment that power is generated, it comes through those lines and it has to go through something called a substation, which turns that power down, that makes it where me and you can use it or blow everything in our buildings up. But listen, it has to be connected through a line. Through a line. And do you realize today that me and you have been given a line? We've been given a line that's directly to God, and it's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Ghost. He's how me and you are connected to an almighty God. You turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Listen to this. This is good. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Listen, that's our direct line with the Holy God. That's our direct line with the power source. That's our direct line with a generating plant, if you want to say that, is through the Holy Spirit of God. It says in that scripture that it prays for me when I don't know what I need myself. The Bible tells us we have to be careful even of our own hearts, because our own hearts are even deceiving. But listen, the Holy Spirit of God, it knows our hearts. It knows the mind of God. It ain't a it, it's a he. He knows the mind of God. He knows everything about us. Listen, he is God himself, and it's three into one. We realize that, but the Holy Spirit's job is to connect us to a holy God. Do you realize this morning, if you were saved, it was through the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible teaches us that he draws us through the Spirit of God, and that without the drawing, no man can be saved. And this gets people a little bit upset and a little bit confused and say, well, preacher, how do I know I was drawn? How do I know? Listen, it's not the natural mindset or the natural heart of a man to want to come to a holy God. There is a division. And when that Spirit of God begins drawing us, there's an enlightenment, an illumination, if you will. We studied about it in Sunday school, that comes on and says, boy, you're lost and you need a Savior. Boy, you need me. And we feel it drawing, and we've all been there in churches. And when you hold on to the pew and your heart begins beating so hard and you say, God, I've got to do something. And many times they sit there and they hold on so tight, fearing to turn loose, that what in the world will happen if I turn my life over to God? My friends will think I'm a fanatic. They'll think all this bad stuff. Listen, it don't matter about that. You need to be connected to the power source. The Holy Spirit is that main line. Romans 15, 13, listen to what it says. Through the Spirit, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, it's how the power gets from this God to us. It says, listen, fill you with all joy. Man, does it not seem like you run into people every single day who has no joy? You run into church members. Listen, I've been guilty of this. I run into somebody one day and they said, what in the world is wrong with you? You seem like you're so down and out. And I didn't even know I was down and out until they said that. Then I thought, you know what, you're right. What am I upset about? What am I? And some mornings you wake up and you're just mad at the whole world. Anybody else that way? You wake up and there's not a bit of joy in you. And the reason that there's not is we've not been communing with this Holy Ghost of God. Either it's that or you're calling the scripture a lie, because it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Lord, Joel, we should be a joyful people this morning. If you're plugged into the power source, you should be joyful. Hey, you ought to have to sit on your hands to keep from clapping. You ought to be that happy. You ought to be smiling everywhere you go. You ought to be telling everybody about a risen Savior. You ought to be telling everybody about what God's done in your life. But it goes further than joy. Listen to what it says, in peace. In peace. How many of us enjoy peace when we lay down at night? Do you remember before you were saved and you would lay down, you begin to think, what in the world if I don't wake up? What's going to happen to me if I don't wake up? And all these things would go through your mind, but boy, how great is it? Now, that first night after you come to know Jesus Christ, you lay in your bed and you're peaceful. You go to sleep in peace. But how much better is it in your everyday life as you're going in and out of work and in different areas? It's a simple peace in your life, a peace that no man can explain, a peace that God's put there. Listen, we're living in a time when many people are committing suicide and different things. And I'm not dumb to that. I know some preachers will say, well, they just need Jesus. Well, listen, bless God they do, but that's a real sickness people suffer from. And they make people to try to help you with it. But we have people that hurt themselves and people who kill themselves all the time. The joy. And there's no peace. Some of them, yes, they need to come to Christ. And there'll definitely be peace. But listen, there's still times that we deal with things even after we come to Christ. And people struggle with these things. Listen, church, we need to be there. And if we're plugged in to this power source called the Holy Spirit, He will lead us and let us understand the times that people simply need to see a smile. There's times you simply need to speak to someone. You never know what's going on in their heart and life. You never know what they're dealing with. You may be the reason that that person decided not to take their own life that day. You may be the reason that person decided, hey, I've got something to live for. There's peace in that God that man right there knows, and he told me about it, and I too can have that peace. We need to always be connected through this main line. The Holy Spirit of God, he is amazing. But listen, let me tell you what else he is. He's the most unknown part of the Trinity there are. People do not like to talk about him. You can mention the Holy Ghost and people just shiver all over. And you can mention the Holy Spirit and it's a little bit better. But there's something about that word Holy Ghost that gets us all upset. Listen, he is completely holy. He is part of the Godhead. He is there for us. You remember what Jesus said? Unless I go away, I cannot send another comforter. His job is to comfort us. It's to bring us peace. It's to bring us joy. And how do we get this? In believing. With all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. What amazing power there is from God that comes through the Holy Ghost to us, realizing we can have joy, we can have peace. And now listen, there's a hope that we're waiting for. It's not a hope my car cranks type of hope. It's not a hope the preacher hurry up and shut up type of hope. It's not that type of hope. It's a hope of knowing what's waiting for us on the other side. If you're here this morning and you don't have that hope, guess what? You can have that hope. You can have it before you walk out these doors this morning. It's a hope that brings about all peace and all joy, and it comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. So I want you to think about this. When you start to see those high lines, leaving We Die or wherever your power plant is or a substation, think about that today as we're preaching as being, that's the Holy Ghost, back and forth to the power source. It says, listen, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Not only do we know joy and peace, but listen, he keeps us. We are kept. Once we become his, we are his and nothing can do away with it. Now listen, you got to understand something. We're not kept through something that's weak. We're not kept through a decision that I've made to follow Christ. We're not even kept through that. Yes, we're kept through faith, but listen, we've got something much more greater. We've got the power of God that has got us sealed until the day of redemption. And this power, listen, there's no greater power on earth than God. You can search all over everywhere you want to, and anywhere in the universe, you can go search all you want, and you'll find no other power source but the true and living God. So if there is a true and living God who loves me, then surely he must be able to keep me. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, Christian, you are kept. You're secure by the power of God. Let that sink in just for a minute. The power of God, which cannot fail, which can never run out, which will never be empty, which will never go away, that same power that saved you, that washed those sins away, that same power that created the heavens and earth, the same power that spoke light into existence, that spoke all the stars into existence, spoke everything into existence, the same power is what's keeping you close to God, what's keeping you saved, that same power. If you can let that sink down your heart just a little bit, there's some anxieties that'll leave. There's some nervousness that'll go away. There's some worrying that'll be gone. Listen to this. Does it make any sense why me and you worry like we do? And I tell you, we're kept by the power of God. Nothing can overcome it. So why in the world do me and you fret and worry like we do all the time? Why do we do it? The only thing I can say is it's a lack of faith. On my part, listen, I deal with that. And the Bible says it's unbelief. It's unbelief that God is able to keep me. And listen, if God gave his son to save me, he gave all of his power to keep me, then it makes sense to me that he's going to take care of me. No, I may not have everything I want. I may not have the truck I want. I may not have the car I want. I may not have the bank account I want. But bless God, according to these scriptures, I got a home in heaven prepared just for me. That ought to be enough. It's that line. The boy will get something better. You see, no matter how much power you've got down there at We Die We being formed, no matter how much power you've got coming across to your house, it's still not any good until you plug that plug in into the wall. Till you actually walk up, you stick those two little bitty prongs into the wall, which makes that fan work or that curling iron work, or boy, this time of year, the air conditioner work. How great it is that you can plug that thing in immediately. There's power. There's power. And I began thinking, God, how in the world am I going to get us to understand this morning? I'm preaching about fans. I'm preaching about hydroelectric plants and all this stuff. And I began thinking, what in the world are we talking about? And then it became clear, even through this same verse of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to this verse again. Who are kept by the power of God through what? Faith. You want to know what our plug into the wall is? You want to know what our connection to the power plant down at Wedowee is? It's a little two prongs on the end of our plug-in of our fan or our extension cord, whatever we're plugging into the wall. The same way that what my plug-in into the Almighty, sourceful God is faith. Listen to what it says. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. I looked up last night, and I'm getting wondering about this. Laying in bed, so I just had to look it up before I could go to sleep. Begin thinking, will power ever be wireless? Will we ever have wireless electricity? And the answer to that question is yes, we probably will. It's through magnetic fields and all this stuff that quickly went over my head very fast. But they say we will eventually be able to go in there and flip the light switch on, wireless. No wires in our houses. Electricians are going to find another job. It's going to be a while, Pat, but it's going to happen. Listen, but there'll never be a time when man, woman, or boy, or girl is not saved and kept through faith. You may not have to plug your fan in one day, but when these kids are born, if Jesus tarries his coming, and those little children that we have in our churches, Barbara Lynn's them little child, Keith them little grandbaby, Brandon them little baby, when it comes a time them be saved, no matter if we have went away from plug-ins or not, the only way they'll ever be made right with God is through their faith. It's the only way. It'll never change. It'll never go away. It's ever there. Think about this. That little bitty plug-in. I wish I had something unplugged right now or Corey would whoop me. Listen, that little bitty plug-in is connected to a big old apparatus down yonder somewhere making power. That little bitty plug-in that we can step on and bend it. We can mess it up very easily. That's what connects us to all of that power. And this little thing that the Bible says, if we have it the size of a grain of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Connects us to the greatest power source that the world will ever know, has ever known, the greatest power source. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There is no way to come to an almighty God but through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no way to get harnessed to that power except through faith in Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. You know what the greatest power source? Boy, I read this morning, and I like to shout it. I'd woke everybody in the house, and they thought I'd done something different. Listen, the greatest power source on earth, some of y'all that's way smarter than me in science already knows the answer, the sun. The sun's the greatest power source in all the universe, in all of us, to earth. It's the greatest power source. Listen to this, did you realize something? It's no accident that this thing's named sun, S-U-N, but the greatest power source we have on this earth is S-O-N, the Son of God. But listen what this sun, S-U-N, does. You realize that, and this blows my mind, Terry, I can't comprehend this, but we cut a tree down, and we go and we throw this thing into the wood heater, we throw it into the fireplace, and you know what happens? It gives off heat. You know what heat is? Heat is energy. Did you know that energy that's saved up in that wood that you burn, that heats your house, that heats you, is energy that has been stored from the sun? And that blowed my mind. I couldn't handle that. Of realizing that thing, listen, the fossil fuels that makes oil, that makes our cars run up and down the road, that powers all these other things, is stored up energy from the sun. when that animal was on the earth, or that thing was on earth that the sun heated, it all come from the sun. Every bit of the power sources that we have down here is from the sun. And that completely got me this morning. And when I think about it, all the power our church needs, all the power our community needs, all the power a lost world needs is available in the sun. What amazing God we serve. Of a God that's all powerful. This is what gets me too. A God that's so powerful that He has all the power in heaven and earth. He's the most powerful being. He created every other thing, and He always has been, and I can't understand that either, but He always will be. He's all this power in all this. You know what? Even of all that power and all that majesty, He loves me. He desired to have me, a sinful being that has crazy thoughts and sinful thoughts and sinful desires, and is nothing good about me. The Bible says the only good thing in me is Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God dwelling in us is the only good thing. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Now, all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving God desires to have a relationship with me. With me. The greatest source of power wanted me. He drew me into a place of where I'd say, yes, through faith, I accept your free sacrifice for my sins. He so desired to have a relationship with something as dirty and as nasty as me. Listen, you know your own self. I don't know you. I know me. And I know it's amazing. And I preached last Sunday a little bit about Billy Graham. And Billy Graham said how he knew Satan was alive and that Satan was real is because of evil in his own heart. Billy Graham, yes, he's a man. He has evil in his heart as me and you did. And listen, but that God of all power desired to save me from that. I want you to think about this for a minute. Some of y'all that are in fire departments, different things, will know this. Some of the greatest forms of power we have on this earth, of course, the sun's number one that we enjoy. It provides everything we have power-wise. Hydroelectric power is way up there. Coal power is a bunch of stuff we do. Natural gas and all this stuff. But of all this powerful substance that God has put on earth, if it's not harnessed correctly, it's deadly. You ever been next to a river that was flooding? It's deadly. You ever been next to a fire that's out of control? Yes, y'all have. Many of y'all's firemen. It's deadly. You ever been next, and we can't get close to the sun. But if we was so much, a little bit further, closer to the sun, we would burn up. And think about this, lightning bolts. I had to study about this. In one lightning bolt, they say, it heats the surface around it to greater than the surface of the sun is, 10 times greater than the surface of the sun. So most of the power of a lightning bolt is absorbed heating the atmosphere. But of what little bit they thought they might could harness would power your home for 1 month. And that's a very, very minute bit of one lightning bolt. But if that lightning bolt hits you, it's destructive. It'll kill you. You get in that water, it's destructive. It'll wipe homes away. It'll wipe businesses away. It'll wipe churches away. Fire will burn them up and everything. Let me tell you something. The greatest power source ever known to man is still, will always be, the true and living God. But if not handled correctly, He's deadly. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You've been preaching about a God of love. Yes, but He's a God of wrath also. Listen, we must learn how to harness those power sources to use them. But the only way that a man, woman, a boy, or girl can ever harness correctly the power of God, the destructive power of God, is through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, which becomes a buffer. He makes intercession for me and you. When God sees us, He don't no longer see the sinful, lost, dirty things of Chad Morgan. He sees His Son, Jesus Christ's blood on my heart and life. That protects me from the sun. They're about to have an eclipse, they say. August the 21st, we was in Franklin, North Carolina yesterday, and me and Corey was talking earlier, and the people in Franklin is a town about the size of Heflin, or maybe a little smaller, and listen, the eclipse line of where it's best to watch this thing comes right across Franklin, North Carolina. They've got expecting 79,000 people in a city the size of 3,000 for one day. People are renting their homes, they're renting their motel rooms, they're gouging, it's all going on, money, money, money. But to be able to look upon that, they're selling these glasses for $1.50 a pair. That you can, and even eye doctors are warning, even with the glasses on, just glimpse. Just glimpse. That's part of God's power. Me or you today will never be able to look upon a holy God who is millions and trillions of times brighter than that eclipse will ever be unless we're shaded by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't look upon him. We'll be dissolved. We'll be thrown in everlasting torment. There must be that buffer there, which is Jesus Christ. Of all the powerful forces there is in this earth, and that God allowed to have on this earth, powerful things. Powerful. You begin reading and studying about it just a little bit, and I didn't study very much. But studying about the power of the sun and the power of the water, God provided us with some powerful things. But he didn't provide us with anything more powerful than his son, Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he can take a dark, black, sin-covered heart and with red blood can make it white as snow. He can't only hide sins, he can wash them away as though they was never there. Let me ask you a personal question this morning. Has the blood been applied to your heart and life? Has a power source, the greatest power source known to man, the power of God, has it been illuminated in your life? Do you now see? Listen, I can remember when I was lost and thinking about this, I didn't know who Jesus was. Yes, I'd been to Bible school and Sunday school. I wasn't raised in church. I'd been to these. I didn't honestly know who Jesus was. Yes, I'd heard of Jesus at Christmas. Yes, I'd seen Christmas plays and I'd done this, but I didn't know who Jesus was. It says we was blind. We were spiritually blind. And then that Spirit of God begins tugging at our heart door. We begin seeing a need for light. And immediately, when we say yes, that thing is lit up. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the only way. If me and you and anybody in this room ever sees heaven, it'll be through Jesus Christ. No other way. You try any other way, the Bible says you're the same as a thief and a robber. We must come to God on his terms. He's the greatest power has ever been in the universe and ever will be. And to stand before him, it must be on his terms. I told you a few weeks ago, I had known people who said, well, me and God had a special agreement. You've got a special agreement. He provided you with a Savior, and you get to say yes or no. That's your special agreement. It's not any different for me. It's not any different for Billy Graham. Not any different for anybody sitting beside you. It's the same to all men. The greatest power source on earth has been made available to you. You've got to get connected. You do that through faith, by the Holy Spirit of God tugging at your heart. When you say yes in faith, then you're immediately connected through that line to the greatest power source. And you are kept forever. What a miracle. If you would, please stand. I'm going to ask you one simple question as they begin playing. In my weak way, I've tried to get you to understand in terms that we make and understand through a little fan blowing or a little air conditioner working, something we plug into the wall. Are you connected? Church, are we connected to the power source here at New Harmony? Are we plugged in through the Spirit of God to the power source? If we're ever going to see anything of God, and listen, now, we're seeing some things happen. I believe that. We've seen great things happen last several weeks. We've seen great things happen last several months. Great things are still happening. If we're going to continue that, we must stay plugged in. Just as that fan would not run when I unplugged it, a church cannot run without the power of God. We must have his power. And only you know that today. Are you connected? Let me tell you this. How do you stay connected? How do you keep it plugged in? Yes, through faith, but how do you grow it? Through prayer, through Bible reading, and through time alone with that power source, with God. That's how we stay in connection with him as we sing this morning.